What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea. Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
And welcome back to 20 whatever.
20 whatever. Getting maybe a little deep again.
Yeah. We're bringing it back. It's been a handful of months. Definitely last year we did We're Not Really Strangers.
Which in our, you know, 1 year wrap up, I think we all agreed that was one of our favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was the one we got the most, like, people were like, we really like this one a lot too. This is like one of their favorites as well.
Yeah. But it was hard to film.
Yeah.
There was a lot of tears.
A lot of tears.
Huh? Yeah. What do we think about this time around, ladies?
Well, we're doing the self-love edition, so I can't imagine this one not also being an emotional moment.
Yeah.
So,
but I think, like, good emotions. You know, like, it's definitely hard to talk about this stuff, especially considering that we're all very much still on this self-love journey.
Right.
Like, there's no end point, but I think hopefully there's a lot of, like, good self-reflecting too of how far we have come and the things that we have deconstructed.
Yeah. I also think this is, like, this game specifically is really cool because I feel like unless you just know to ask these things, or like if you just know to think about these things for yourself, you're probably not thinking about this.
Right.
And you don't even know to like bring it up to your friend or like anyone you're close to. So I like this because it allows you to dig a little bit deeper and do some self-reflection that you wouldn't normally do otherwise.
Because these questions, I'm like, I wouldn't even think to ask myself that. Like,
right.
That's how it got so deep last time. I was like,
I never thought about this.
And why would you ask me that?
It too. I think like these are the questions we want to ask, but we don't know how.
Yeah. Right.
And like these cards really give us the words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which and you're the one who introduced us to this game.
Yes. I really like this game. I've played it with a lot of people. I have not done the self-love version, so I don't know what to expect. I am not looking forward to it yet again. I really wasn't looking forward to it the last time, but this is necessary. I mean, and I loved it afterwards. I was like, oh, this was so good. But, you know, the crying business is just so much. So
she's not in the business of that.
I'm not in the business of crying. But I think it'll be good. It always is.
And before we jump into the cards, your quick reminder to subscribe to 20 Whatever on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do all the things, help support us in our goal of reaching 100,000 subscribers.
Yes, that was good.
Oh, thank
Come
you.
Come on, infomercial. That's what that sounded like.
And if you join now, we'll throw in a set of steak knives.
Yes. Steak knives?
Why would they always throw in snake knives?
Right. Snake knives?
Steak knives.
Help.
Next time that I'm the one who does the call to action, I'm going to do it like Billy Mays.
Billy Mays here with 20 whatever and OxyClean.
Yes.
And Snake You've Knights. Seen other podcasts, but never one like this. Bam!
I like that. I like that too.
Give us a really... hi, hey, hello is Billy Mays.
Ooh, do it.
Hi, hey, and hello from OxyClean.
Rest.
I think it's the heavy breathing.
Yeah. Rest, Billy Mays.
Oh my God.
Wait, is he?
Didn't he die?
He's dead.
He's dead?
He definitely
what?
Died. Not me breaking the news. Live on 20 whatever.
I always Billy learn Mays. Something new. And I think that that's my information for this episode.
Yeah, I thought I was going to learn about myself and nope. you guys we'll and body about Billy image. Mays. Just Billy Mays.
Wow.
Well, you heard it here first.
An icon, always. I guess.
And we have a message from our friend Emma from the group chat. She said, "Hi, gorgeous girls. My name is Emma, and I had a question that might be hard to answer."
Ooh.
I know. "How do you know you made the right choice when the choice you chose won't make everyone in the situation happy? I am having some trouble with my family, in parentheses, parents specifically, and I don't know which is the right choice. Thank you. I love you girls, Sierra, Ryan, Paloma, Jess, and everyone on your team."
Oh.
How do you know you made the right choice when the choice you chose won't make everyone happy in the situation?
So, and then specifically
with parents.
Parents. Yeah. Okay.
I think for me, when I think about this question, it's kind of threefold in the sense that, like, the surface answer I feel like is like prioritize yourself, right? Like, what matters the most is your feelings, which, like, it matters very much. But I do think, you know, there's kind of two other elements at play. It's like, how is your choice lining up with your personal moral values?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the third part is like, is this getting me to the place I want to be in that relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And it's so delicate with parents.
It is. I feel like the other thing too, especially with parents, I think we talked about this before, is trying to do a lot of I statements, especially if they feel like they're going to be defensive or like they're being attacked in whatever way. I don't know the situation, but using a lot of like, this is beneficial for me. I feel like I need to do this thing and make this decision, because then it doesn't feel like you guys are like this and you guys don't let me blah, 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 or whatever. I don't know what the situation is, but I feel like if you can explain why you made the choice and how it benefits you, that could also just be like helpful. And you get the opportunity to kind of explain it to yourself. That way you're not really feeling guilty. Like, I know I made the decision because I wanted to. It's more than I wanted to because of XYZ.
Yeah.
And I read it, and like, as a people pleaser, I'm like, oh, I know. How do I make a choice that makes everyone okay? And it's like, the first thing, it's just like knowing, like Sierra said, just your values, knowing what you stand for, what do you want to come of it? Mm-hmm. And if this is a choice that you know in your heart and it like is true to you and you need this or have whatever it is, it's like, you, at least at the end of the day, you can know that you chose what was right for yourself. And maybe your parents or anyone else cannot understand that because they're not you, but only you know the correct choice for yourself. No one else does.
Right.
So.
And also just to know that, like, it is rare that everybody gets what they want.
Mm.
Like, sometimes it works out like that, and, like, love that for everybody, but it's rare that everybody gets a slice of the cake.
And gosh, I feel that with my, especially parents too. Like, I never want to hurt their feelings. Like, I like love them so much. So I'm always like, I don't want them to feel like anything. Like, let me do what you want. But it's like, you get to, like, you get older and older and older, and you have to start as an adult setting like boundaries or like choosing for yourself.
Yeah, choosing yourself. Yeah.
And it's tough. So it, you know.
I feel for you.
Yeah.
We all have been in situations like that. So.
That's a really difficult question.
Yeah.
Thanks, Emma. I hope you found what you're looking for. And I hope maybe the rest of this episode helps too, because we're getting into some very wholesome, but I think slightly difficult questions.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Level one is about the past. We're going to answer the first one.
Ooh.
What forced you to grow, even if it was hard?
When I chose to leave my parents' house and move to New York. That was like the hardest decision I ever made. And it really sucked. And it was really, really difficult and strained my relationship with my parents, kind of strained my relationship with everybody in my family for a long time. But it ultimately was the best decision I ever made, the hardest and the best.
And I feel like your experiences in New York during that time are frequently coming up as such formative experiences for you.
Yeah, that was like the hardest 2 years ever. But like, without them, I absolutely would not be like who I am, and like, I wouldn't be, I feel like, as far along in my own mental stability and like confidence if none of that were to happen.
Like, it was hard to go, but it's good that you went.
Yes.
Yeah. I think for growth that I can still feel like is happening right now is like choosing to do the internet and be so open. I feel like that has pushed me to grow in ways that I didn't even know that I needed to grow. So
doing this right here, what we're doing on the couch right now, I feel like has pushed me so much. Like, I've grown so much in this past year of podcasts and everything. So I think this right here. What about you, Sierra?
I think for me, and I hate to get so deep so early, question one, but I immediately thought back to when I was 15, when my brother was 16, he had a heart attack. And it was a very, very, very difficult time on our family, obviously.
Right.
But I grew immensely through that trauma and through – it wasn't really my trauma, right? It was my brother's trauma. But like as a 15-year-old, going from friend's house to friend's house and then going to the hospital to be with my family when I could and like going through all of that, like really – kind of cemented my family values in the sense of like before that, like I kind of felt like, oh yeah, like my family, like I love them, like they're great. But like when you're 15, it's like all about your friends,
right?
You know,
right.
And I think I look at who I was before and after that as two incredibly different people. And it was so hard. And like, obviously I wish it didn't happen. Like I wish I could have grown in a different way, but it did change me for the better. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a completely renewed appreciation for my family.
Well, when you think you're going to lose somebody, all of a sudden, everything is in perspective, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I could not have, like, my older brother right now.
Yeah.
And, like, the thought of that will change so much of how you feel about your family. That's why, like, sometimes when you go to, like, funerals or something or something, when somebody's sick, you're like, oh, I've been taking everything for granted. I've been taking you all for, I need to hang out and do mm-hmm. all these things. So, yeah. Yeah, when you're 15, you're already feeling so much.
Yeah. When I'm 15, you know how many times my brother and I said, like, I would just wish you were never born.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
right.
And then that feels so different when your brother comes home from the hospital and you're just like, I'm so glad you're alive.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Right.
So, sorry, question one.
I know, cut it like, deep.
Let me just bring up my brother almost dying.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Could have. I was trying to go through my head, think of something else. I'm like, that's the answer.
That's the answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jess, but please go easy on us.
Got it. I actually think this one is very sweet, and I've never heard it asked before. What would your younger self be relieved about?
Oh. Relieved.
Yep, no same pee.
How young are we talking? Because I think my, like, six-year-old self would just be, like, relieved that I'm still playing Pokemon.
Right.
Right, like, oh, thank God.
She didn't give that up.
Yeah. Right?
Like, right.
But like how young?
It's kind of giving that thing where that meme that's like, I thought as an adult, quicksand was going to be a way bigger issue right. than it was.
I'm screwed.
Right?
I've never
like I was
that.
Walking around really worried about quicksand.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm glad I know that. Don't move because then it just makes it go faster. Yeah. Like in my right. mind, I was like, good thing I know.
Good thing I know for when I encounter quicksand on my day-to-day
multiple
life.
Times yeah. in my yeah. day-to-day life.
That's a good question. Relieved is the word that I'm like.
Relieved.
Yes, relieved.
Like, I'm like,
about.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, I think if I'm thinking back to like maybe preteen time, right? You kind of have like a sense of self already, but you're still very much figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I think I would just be relieved that I'm still like kind of a goofy, silly kid.
Mm.
I remember having so many talks with my dad as a preteen and a teen being like, why are adults so lame?
Like,
I have the same question
like,
currently
asking my dad all the time, and I remember my dad would be like, look, when I was your age, like I thought I was like so cool and countercultural, like I was like dark and I was like writing my poetry and like had my earring and was like
right.
grown-ups just West. Don't understand. He's like, and then I, you know, I grew up, and he's like, and I'm still like that, but you know, you change when you grow up, and I hope you don't. And he's like, and I still have a lot of those parts about me, but like when you grow up, you change. And I remember literally saying to him, well, I'm never going to change. And I'm never going to sell out to the big man.
Right.
And like, to an extent, of course I have.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Everyone does. But I think at my core, I'm still kind of like a big kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like that about myself. And yeah. I think like preteen, teenage me would be like, yeah.
Right.
You're absolutely. Still a big freaking weirdo.
Yeah.
Totally.
I feel that.
And can I don't know if it's a question or say or why. Yeah, it is a question. Why? Why do we think that like when we grow up or like you have to lose that sense of like childlike, playful. And maybe it's not even, I don't want to label it as childlike because that's maybe the problem. It's like being playful, I don't think makes you be a child. So Sierra being like, I still want to be goofy and silly. It's like, right. And I feel like so many adults, we should still carry that playfulness within us because feeling like we have to push away from it.
I feel like adults
stamp it out of you.
Yeah. And or also like take everything so seriously. Like when we're like in the grocery store and we're like fucking around and we're just like doing stuff and your mom's like, can you just like stand there and like not? They're like, okay.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm not even, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and especially if you're getting told over and over like to reel it in, calm it down. As you get older, that's not like that goes. So you're like, oh, let me not do too much.
That's it. It's the let me not be too much, do too much.
Because we're grown and this is a not that setting. And, you know, and that's why you feel comfortable with your friends. You guys can act like idiots because nobody's judging you and nobody's looking weird at you.
Yeah.
But like adults doing like a flash mob maybe is like, why are they doing that? Teenagers doing it, you're like, okay.
Okay, well, you're a teenager.
Yeah.
I really don't want to get rid of the playfulness and goofiness. Like, even when I'm a grandma, like, I want to be like, all right, kids. Like, I'm going to have, like, the dyed hair and, like, the cool vest to match the holiday. Like, we're going balls to the wall.
Yes.
Like, once I reach that part, I'm sending that part, you know?
Right.
And I love seeing older people, especially older women, who are vibrant and loud.
It makes me feel so free.
Yes,
I aspire to be those women.
Yes,
absolutely.
Agree.
And I think there is such this like narrative that we're kind of pushed of like being like having that is bad and wrong. And
grow up.
Do you know how probably one of the most common comments I get is like grow up.
Like,
like grow up. Like you are so immature. You're so this. I'm like, I think I'm like goofy and silly, but I don't think I'm like immature. Like I think those are kind of two different things, but I think all levels of like nonconformity, silliness, out there-ness, right? Going against the grain, being goofy is all kind of gooped into like, grouped into.
Like,
knock it off.
Right.
Grow up. You're not a kid anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And why do you want me to, why? Do you also want me to be as miserable as you? Like,
that's kind of what it's giving.
Because when you say grow up, what does that mean? You want me to stop having fun.
Right.
Stop being playful is what you're literally saying to me.
Right.
Yeah. And you can be an adult and take responsibility for the things in your life and still be
goofy
oddball.
Yeah, I pay my bills. Yeah. I do what's got to be done, but I still fuck around. Yeah. Why do I gotta grow? Grow up. I said, I am. This is what it is. You make it what life is. What you make it, bitch.
So Hannah Montana.
Yes.
Me upset at the people stomping out that stuff.
But yeah. She says, I digress.
I digress. Ryan, what is something?
Oh, I think my younger self would be relieved to know that I am worthy of romantic love because that was so not it. Everybody had boyfriends. Everybody was doing the whole thing. And that was just not something that I got to be a part of ever.
Mm-hmm.
Not like any schooling, all through high school, all of that. And I always just thought, like, maybe it's just not for me. I just don't get to. And that sucks, but I just don't get to. So it's, I think I would be relieved to know that I've had multiple relationships at this point now because I really didn't think I was going to have any.
Yeah.
So.
And that you're very wanted.
I feel like younger self was just having such a ball that she wasn't, like, worried. And that's so beautiful and so, I wish I could go back and be like, girl, you better relish in that because that doesn't last forever, you know? But I think that the only worry as a child, like through 10, if we're gonna, it was just really like, so like, am I like talking, singing? Are we performing? Like, I feel like that I just wanted to be entertaining. Are we? I have always known that that's just something so deep in me. So I feel like sitting right now saying that I don't want to tear up, but like, yeah, I'm so relieved to be here and doing this.
Right. On a different type of stage, but you're still performing and you're still entertaining.
Yes, yeah, yes. And I still am so passionate about it and I just re-fell in love with the passion of it. So I feel like I have a new love for acting, theater, entertainment, podcasting, short form.
name
any outlet. And right now I feel just so like re-inspired. And I'm so glad that if younger self could see me, she'd be like, look at you just so excited and so inspired to be in this space.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I love that.
Jessica, quickly with the questions, please.
These
little silences.
Don't let us sit in these.
I know. We're like answering the question. They're like, okay, who's next? Next.
And I like kind of want like golf clap. Just
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
next. How would you prepare your younger self for their first heartbreak?
I think I would try to
emphasize the importance of not tying your identity to another person.
Mm-hmm.
I think my two major heartbreaks were so much more painful because I didn't know who I was without that person. Whereas I think of other breakups I had with like shorter relationships where I didn't mold my entire persona around that person. Yes, I think it was less painful just because it was less time. But also when those relationships ended, I was still me. Right. So I can be sad about this relationship ending and losing you, but I'm still me versus this relationship is ending. I'm losing you. And I feel like I'm also losing myself because who am I without you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would.
That's a good one.
Yes. I think going in, I would be like, validate my feelings so profusely. Right. I'd be like, oh, my God. First heartbreak. Hug, hug, hug. Your feelings are validated, number one. Number two, to assist that thing where you're not so, like, you lose yourself, I feel like I would encourage myself to be like, that's a, like, this happened, okay? Moving forward, what we need to do is, like, we just need to dive into ourselves, our passions, our anything, like truly just finding stuff outside of yourself and just really not outside of yourself, sorry, diving into stuff that are like interests to you. And so you have things and people and communities outside of that relationship, because I feel like it's really tough when it's just, you just are committed to that person, you lose to that person. And then when you lose them, you're like, oh my God. And I feel like that happens so much in middle school. Like, all my friends, like, they forget they have friends, they forget they have family, and it's just like boyfriend, 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 or whatever. And so to avoid that, it's just like, please, just, I would like encourage myself to do so many sports and so many activities, because
while you're in the relationship,
that's
the thing.
Yes.
Obviously, like, when you get out, you're going to do things and want to distract yourself, but like, don't lose yourself while in the relationship. Like, still be a person.
So, and I'd be like, and you're gonna have another relationship, and that's okay. And while we wait for that one, we're just gonna keep doing our own thing. And just like shaping it that way. Because in the heartbreak or in the breakups, when I had things, when I'm in a show, when I'm this, it feels less. Is it because I'm distracted? I don't know. But I also still had me and my passion. So it didn't feel as like life or death kind of situation. I feel like it feels like your whole world is crumbling at first heartbreak.
Yes. Because it's like, oh, not only am I losing this relationship, I'm losing my whole life.
And I have nothing.
I have nothing without this person.
Right.
And that's when I was in a really unhealthy relationship in high school. This person purposely isolated me from my friends. Which I thought, oh my gosh, he loves me so much that he doesn't want me to be away from him.
Right.
So like that like just made me feel better. Oh, right. Of course he doesn't want me to go hang out with my friends because he wants me to be around him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of course he doesn't want me to do a show because then I'll be at rehearsal and not with him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And as a insecure teenage girl, that made me feel loved, important, valued.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that entire almost a year relationship, I didn't do any theater. I was still playing soccer, which was like my only outlet because my mom was like, you're not quitting everything. Like, this is ridiculous. And luckily, through soccer, I still had those soccer friends. But most of my other friends, I like totally blew off.
Yeah.
And when we broke up, it was that feeling of like, I literally cannot live not just without this person, but like, I don't even know how to live without that being the center core of my life.
Right.
And I think encouraging my younger self to let that person be a part of my life, but not my whole life.
Yep.
That soundbite right there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would probably tell my younger self, like, if someone wants to be with you, you won't have to beg them to be with you. And if you have to beg, or even the thought of begging or asking multiple times, cut it. We're done.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's okay. And you'll find somebody else. But like, if you have to be like bending over backwards, flipping, doing all these things, changing everything about yourself to be with a person, that's not the person that you need to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
And gosh, that's a tough pill to swallow because what if I just did this? What if I just wear that? What if I did? I am guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Mm-hmm. Do you think for you that came more from a place of I don't want to lose this person, or like you were saying in the last question of feeling that like insecurity of not having a partner, it came from I don't want to lose this person, or I might not find anyone else?
Both.
Yeah.
I felt like I was so wrapped up in that relationship, and not that I didn't have like a life outside of him, but I was just so like, I just knew, right? When you just know that like, we are meant to be together, like you're my soulmate type of vibe. And then towards the end of a relationship, when it was like really, really tough, I felt myself like allowing things in the relationship to happen that I normally would not have let happen. But because I wanted to be with him so bad and I wanted this relationship to work, I was allowing all this shit that I would never, ever allow. But because I was so like, you're the one, so I guess I just have to make this work. Otherwise, then you're not the one. And that's mm-hmm. like not really an option.
And
here.
That's not the truth I'm telling myself in exactly. my head and my heart.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. because we're meant to be, I got to do all this mm-hmm. to make sure that we are meant to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it was that. And it was like, I'm never going to find love like this again because I've never had it to begin with. I don't have the like, oh, well, you've had five boyfriends before. Like, it's not that deep. No, this is it. Here we are. Holy shit, it's leaving. It's gone. Like, yeah. I don't know what to do type mm-hmm. of vibe. Mm-hmm. And all that happened when I was an adult. Like, I was like grown. So it was a mind fuck a little bit, but that I was younger, right? So like, I would still definitely be like, girl, if you have to beg, keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How long after the breakup do you feel like it took you to be like, oh, I'm like a hot commodity. Like, people would love to date me. Like, I will, not only will I find someone else, but like, I have options.
Well, as embarrassing as this is, probably like 3.5 years. That breakup fucked me like so hard. And it took me forever to get. I couldn't even get there because I was still mourning the relationship. Mm. So I couldn't even get to like the, oh, I'm like doing this. I was like, that's not even a thought. Mm-hmm. And then I got over the relationship. And then I was like, hello?
She rubbed her eyes a little bit. I was like, looked in the mirror.
Girl. Like, holy well, shit. I finally you looked like this the whole time. You're funny. Dude. And you're smart.
I finally stopped crying about it and was like, oh, okay.
I'm that bitch.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
We're fine. It's fine. We're good. Yeah.
She remembered.
So a long time. But yeah. That was like my first like true, real, I mean, again, I was an adult, like true, real relationship that I was like truly in love. So I had also never felt that, like I didn't get to go through all that when I was a teenager. Like that didn't happen. So it was like a lot. Yeah. It was a lot.
Teenage boys
I'm
are
sweating.
Terrible.
Me talking about my ex, like, God. Yeah.
We're moving on to level two. Good job, guys.
Yeah, we survived.
Bro, we were tearing in level one, though.
Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Our first question from level two, which is present tense questions. This one's a little lighter, give you guys a little breather. What seemingly random things are you into? Sierra, I feel like this question was made for you.
So many. I feel like a lot of mine people already know because I talk about them and I have many niche weird interests, but you know, rocks,
right?
Pokemon.
Right.
Currently very into gardening, raising my monarch caterpillars. Seemingly random. What else?
I have a currently seemingly random thing that I'm really in love with, which is juicing. I had no idea I would be so like invigorated by it, but like something about putting carrots and oranges and lemons and then just like grinding them down and pushing it to juice is like so oddly satisfying and it's fantastic.
I want a Paloma juice.
Yeah. It was good. I had the carrot juice.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So good. It's I'm making one that's called Liquid Sunshine. I will literally bring it to you.
Please.
I absolutely will. No, done. Done.
What do you do with the pulp? Like, do you compost it?
The pulp, I like to actually like sift it through and like push it. I actually run it through the juicer one more time to like really get that extra oomph. And more juice came out. And then I just like, yeah, we have like a little compost bag thing. I don't know what Ryan's doing with it. I'm just putting the scraps in the designated
not your part.
Container.
You're I do the juicing and he does the scraps or whatever.
Yes. That, and I think that, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast, but one of the things I like to consume that's a little random, but like, is like when people are cooking with freakishly small food. Like they have like
for
like
the hamster.
Tiny, like it's teeny tiny, for hamsters, and they're like making a burger and it's just so cutesy and tiny and small, and I just love seeing it. It's just so cute, and I will not eat it up. I will watch them eat it up, but it's so tiny and it's just so cute. And
right.
I don't know. Is it for a mouse? I don't know.
Right. But it also, like, why?
I know, and it's I don't
like,
know
why.
And it's like, why is your griddle so small? Like, it's literally just like the shot of the fingers,
right?
And the little cheese, like it's so freakish. It's for a Polly Pocket size food,
right?
I've seen people making those like out of clay on TikTok, but I've never seen people
real
doing
food.
It with real food.
They have
food.
Leveled it up we've gone through COVID. They've done everything. They are now using real food to make the miniature stuff, and it's so cute.
I feel like I would be into that. Like, I love tiny things.
The sizzle. You can hear the sizzle of the meat on, like, as they're cooking. It's so cute.
I'm like, I don't even eat meat, but I want to hear the sizzle.
Yeah, the sizzle.
And it's so small, so it's so cute.
A little teeny sizzle. Teeny. Look like a little Krabby Patty.
That was a crunchy R.
Krabby Patty.
Krabby Patty. Mine's also in the same food vibe. I love watching Korean mukbangers. I don't know what they're saying. I mean, I read the subtitles, but I don't really read the subtitles. I'm not really there to know. I'm just there to watch them cook the food and watch their expressions. They're so, like, animated when they're, like, cooking the food and eating, and I'm so intrigued. I don't cook, and I'm not really interested in doing that, but I love watching them cook and then eat the food. Or, and, like, go to the grocery store. And I also like that they're going to, like, Korean stores, and I'm like, wow. The Korean 7-Eleven.
I haven't seen this.
Bro, the Korean 7-Eleven is top notch. Like, they're on some other level shit over there. Like,
when I was in Japan and I went to a 7-Eleven, it was stupid. Like, they had fantastic food, and, like, they also, like, provide, like, the hot water. So if you wanted to, like, set your noodles up and stuff, like, you can make it all in the
and it's like not delicious and, like, fresh.
Fresh. That's the key word that you want to say. Cause, like, I still remember there was a 7-Eleven outside our hotel, and I saw, like, the truck show up with, like, the sandwiches and, like, all the fresh food.
Yes.
And so not 7-Eleven food like we're used to.
No, not American 7-Eleven food. Like,
not the taquitos.
Not
the taquitos.
No. I love that. I love to watch that.
I remember grabbing a sandwich, and it had, like, a slaw and, like, a pork belly. Why? Tell me why. At 7-Eleven, like, I would never buy that here.
Oh, yeah. But no, there, that's giving, like, sickness.
You will die. Right. Like, you'll die. Simply pass away. I don't know. But it was so, so good. I remember actually asking Ryan, I'm like, what do you want me to bring you back from Japan? She's like, food. I'm like, from the 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
And I did bring you the noodles. I brought her the cheesiest cheesy. Yep. And at the time it was like Halloween. So I remember, like, they even had, like, a Halloween character on it. And, and I was like, I brought you this one.
Yes. Oh, was it good?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, it was so good. And you, like, can't get it in the States. So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing that I am really into that, like, I don't talk a ton about is just how much media I consume of, like, video essays. Like, I will watch video essays on shows I've never seen, things I've never heard of. Like, I just watched one that was, like, 2 hours long on Breaking Bad. Never watched Breaking Bad.
If you've never seen it, what, like, excites you about it? Like, if you don't even know who they're talking about.
I'm like, I know that show. Like, let me just get a fast track on it. And now I'm not only, like, seeing the show, but also, like, I don't like scary stuff. And so I'm like, if I were to watch Breaking Bad, I would probably end up, like, fast forwarding through half of it anyway. So I'm like, give me, like, the cliff notes, and then also, like, tell me about, like, the analyzing of it. Like,
right.
You know, like, they give it everything.
So then I would assume that that's giving spoilers.
1,000%.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. I'm like, how are you explaining anything if you're not saying anything?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's like the next step of me wanting to read Wikipedia about something. And honestly, if I click on one and it's like, no spoilers, I'm leaving
Wikipedia.
Right. I want to know.
I want
you
to give me the spoilers.
Gotcha.
Let me see if I can go to my YouTube watch history and read you some of the recent video essays I've watched this
Wait,
week.
Wait, I love it.
Okay. Because they're going to be all over the place.
And while you're looking,
uh-huh.
Are you straight up just sitting there watching? Are you doing other things?
Other things. Okay. This is like getting ready in the morning. Vibes. Yeah, podcast vibes.
Gotcha.
This one only has 405 views. The History of Disney Channel Original Movies.
Oh.
That's really good.
I love that. I would love
that. And that's a shorter one. That one's only like 20 minutes. Then we have the entire Black Mirror timeline with season 6, 43 minutes. I've watched one episode of Black Mirror.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm like, tell me what the timeline was.
Right.
Because people talk about it. This is from, that was just today. This morning, getting ready for the podcast. Yesterday, the wizard competition in Wizards of Waverly Place makes no sense. 33 minutes.
I stand behind that.
Right?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
We have Teen Titans, A History, Analysis, and Celebration. 1 hour and 55 minutes. I haven't watched Teen Titans since I was like 8. But I watched that whole video.
Right.
Listen to it.
1 hour and 55 minutes.
Of yeah.
Right.
Although that one I think I fell asleep in. And that's the thing. Sometimes I'll like fall asleep during these and then like not pick it back up.
Right.
Right.
Have you ever done it for a show that you have?
Yes.
Watched.
Yeah. I mean, the Disney Channel one, right? Oh,
okay,
here's one.
Right. That's T.
Enter the Multiverse, an MCU complete retrospective, 3 hours and 7 minutes. And that's a part 4, I think. So when I say,
oh my God,
like, I don't really watch TV, it's not like I don't watch TV. It's like, no, I don't watch TV because this is what I'm doing with like my media time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Should we put her on a show where she can like use all this knowledge?
I know. We need like a game show that's about TV shows. Mm-hmm.
You guys should go do like a trivia night with a sun-themed TV series.
Especially if it's Star Wars or Marvel, because I would say at least 50% of the video essays I watch are Star Wars or Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Okay, noted.
We need to use these knowledge for good.
We need to use her so that we can win some prizes.
Some prizes.
It actually would be fun. Because we don't even have to go to trivia night. We could do a trivia podcast and we could have different categories of like our interests, like Jeopardy.
Oh my God. Remember when we would play Jeopardy in school?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Remember that?
We should do that.
Comment below if you're down.
Yeah.
If not, we'll scratch it.
And let us know what the category should be called.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a good idea.
Like, you know, when we talk about comfort movies?
Yeah.
One of my comfort videos that I have probably listened to 10 times in its entirety is the entire canon Star Wars timeline, and it's like a 4-hour video.
Mm-hmm. And you just go back and...
Yep, mm-hmm. It starts from like the very... Like, it's all of the lore from like all of the canon stuff. Like the movies, some of the books that are canon, the TV shows. Like in timeline order.
Wow.
It's comforting.
The knowledge, the power.
The nerd. All right.
Yeah. Don't you want to know the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
I don't Jessica. Know if we have enough.
I was going to say, no, but Darth Maul can get it.
Yeah. Darth Maul could get it. I agree.
That's just because you haven't seen Clone Wars, the animated series.
Oh, and I absolutely will not be watching that.
I don't need that.
Something about the cartoon style, and I can't like put my finger on it, like creeps me out.
It's There's actually great.
But the way they look is weird.
Yeah.
It the reminds way the, me of the like animation. Claymation, but it's not.
It's like claymation, but it's drawn. Like it's.
You're entitled to your wrong opinion.
Okay.
It's impressive, but it scratches my brain in a weird way visually.
Fair.
But I have actually like looked up the plot.
Yeah. Again, I'm sure you could find a video essay. I can send you one. I've probably seen it twice.
I think we need like a team Slack that's just for you to info dump links.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when someone's like, wow, I need something to watch, they can go peruse your Slack.
Actually, I will make a video essay channel on Slack. And just every time I watch a new one, I'm going to send the link.
Recommend.
Yes. Yes, but you can't be mad when no one responds.
Everyone needs to have notifications off.
Muted.
That is just like a, I wonder what weird shit Sierra's been watching.
Yeah. I love
You're like, I need something to watch. What should I watch?
Right.
What is something you don't care to be good at?
Drawing.
Really?
I'm terrible. I am god awfully at drawing. Like, I remember in school they would tell my mom, like, this girl cannot even color in the lines. Like, I was not gifted at that at all. Mm-mm. They were like, the assignment was to do this, not a dinosaur. I was like, that is a self-portrait. And they're like, oh my God. And you know what? I've accepted that within myself and I don't care that I'm not good at it. Fuck it.
I feel the same. I want to be good at my job. I want to be a good friend. I want to be a good partner. Other than that, I don't know. And I think the reason why I'm like, it's fine if I'm not good is because I don't really like competitiveness isn't really so strong in me.
Thank God.
Well,
literally I am highly competitive, so it's very for the best that my best friend is not, because if not, we probably would kill each other.
Fighting, yeah.
That's
like,
why
we gotta do this.
And that's
like,
why I love when I'm like, with Sierra, because we can get that competitiveness going. Right, and she's like, oh, y'all go ahead.
Yeah, y'all go ahead. Y'all go ahead.
I'll be waiting Sierra back here.
Right. And probably like sports. Like and games. I play games for fun. I don't play games to win. And if I'm not good, it doesn't matter. I know the inhale, that's weird, honestly.
You could play something and like still have fun if you don't win.
Yeah, but that's why people like to play games with me, because they'll probably win, because I'm not gonna like lose my mind over it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm here to have a good time.
Right.
But the game you are freakishly good at, and when we play together, is that one where it's like it's like there's a word and you have to get your guess.
Taboo.
Ryan and I are so good at that, and I feel like we don't even speak. And like the other, sorry to this other guest, and I'm like, it's that one thing, and she's like, this, and I'm like, yeah, and they're like, you didn't say anything.
Yeah,
you are freakishly good
but
at
I
that
think
game.
That I don't think that has anything to do with like my ability to play the game, but more just like I know what you're trying to say,
and so I just
can guess. But yes, that's a fun game. I like that one.
And thank God she's good at it, because imagine to have my teammate. I'd be like, all right, sorry, Ryan. But
literally. Yeah.
What about you, Sierra?
Honestly, I think just like all of my hobbies. Like, I think I used to view hobbies as something that I had to be good at. Mm-hmm. And I think that also comes from like the like overachiever gene of like, right, I have to be good at everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I,
like, why would I do something if I can't even do it? If I can't be good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it actually just really resonated with me from a TikTok like 2 or 3 years ago. I remember it so clearly. It was someone skiing and they were like, I'm bad at skiing and I like it and I have fun with it. And this is your reminder that like, you don't have to be good at your hobbies. I can enjoy being bad at skiing.
Right.
And I was like, really? You're right. And I feel like I had been getting towards that point.
Right.
But to see it laid out in those plain words of like, you aren't supposed to be good at your hobbies. They are just hobbies. They're just for fun. I feel like really just opened up a whole world for me. And I think that may be why, especially in the past couple of years, I've like been exploring a lot of different hobbies because I'm like, oh, I can play pickleball and then not have to like practice and learn strategy and be the best at pickleball so that next time we play, I'm better. Like,
right.
I can just play it.
Right.
Except
she's very good.
I was going to say, roll the footage from the retreat when she was playing the boys and was absolutely crushing them. And then every time she was winning, she would look back at us and we'd be like, yeah, bitch.
That one was for the girls.
Yeah, for the girls.
We're like, 20 points for Gryffindor.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think just, you know, realizing that I can have fun. I can enjoy things that I'm not good at.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think I would, before that, like pre-pandemic, if I liked something, I had to figure out how to improve at it.
Right.
And like, if I want to, sure. But like, let's take like gardening as my hobby right now. Like, I have like my nice little garden in the side yard. It's like a fun little side project for me. I think had I gotten into it like 5 years ago, it would have been like, how do I be the best gardener and have the best garden?
Right.
And it's like, why?
Right. Who are you in competition with?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like, why can't I just, or I would have to be like, what plants can I grow that will make the most vegetables?
Right.
So
right.
I can have an overflowing basket of like my achievements.
Yeah. Right.
Instead of being like, you know, sunflowers don't really grow anything, but they're pretty.
Right.
And I like them. Yeah. So I'm going to plant them.
Yeah.
That same sentiment, I think Ryan and I had a conversation about singing where we were like, where I was just like in the slump of like, I don't want to sing this, that, and the fourth because if it's not perfect, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm missing out on so much singing because I'm so fearful of it not being perfect or not being good. And I'm like, you know what? I've decided that I love to sing, and even if I'm bad and other people feel that way, I'm not going to allow that to get in my way. And that really has helped. Still freakishly aggressively working on that.
Yeah.
But that same sentiment applied.
Yeah, remember that conversation. I was like, okay, so then you're bad, and then what?
I know. And then I was like, what? I'm not going to sing? And I was like,
I'm like, you're never going to sing again?
I was like, oh my God, right. Even if I was bad, I would like truly like,
here's just, the thing.
I can't even hear
a
the note.
A lot of people are bad and they still sing. Nobody's stopping them.
So why the hell am I getting in my own way? I'm like, yeah, that's
right.
So that same sentiment.
And we've talked about that before. We just talked about it, how like, because we sing, it feels like it has to be good. Otherwise, why are we singing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we won't sing songs out of our range. We're not going to sing like this, that, and the third because that's not what we do. But it's like, we obviously love it.
Right.
So
why don't you just do it?
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I could just switch my brain to for fun.
For fun.
For the plot. Like they would say, for the plot, bitch, for the plot.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to do anything. And it doesn't even have to lead to anything.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel that.
And that's such a good reminder, is that the purpose of this thing is just to have fun and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So like, if there's no, if the outcome that you wanted doesn't show up, that's fine because that wasn't the goal.
Right.
Yeah. The goal was to have fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you have fun?
Right.
Okay. Even if your garden dies or you don't get the part or whatever it is.
Right.
Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe that, like, to go back to that question where we were like, talking about why grownups are like so stuck, got the sticks up their asses and shit like that.
Yeah.
I don't think enough adults have enough hobbies.
Mm.
Like, they're not doing a lot of things for fun because they're too busy doing other things that they have to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hobbies seem like things that kids do or people do when they have like time to do.
But yeah. Like hobbies are a luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They absolutely are. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, they are a luxury. Yeah. But I feel like you can get so much of your childhood vibe back if you're doing something that you enjoy just for the sake of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
T.
You guys have made it to level 3, future.
Ooh,
big baby.
Do you guys remember that when we would say that as kids?
Baby.
No,
big baby. Yes.
Like, why would we, like, the boys?
I don't know.
And I don't want to say we because I don't think I had the strength to do that back in the day in elementary, but I feel like the boys.
Oh, I definitely said it.
Big baby.
And they would say it a lot on That's a Raven.
Yeah.
That's where that's from.
Yeah. Corey would say it.
Question is, who do you want to spend more time with in your life?
Ooh. I think I want to spend more time with my siblings. It's hard because they're younger and they're in high school. So like I'm probably like not the person they really want to hang out with right now. But I feel like now that they are like people, like real people that we can like converse with, I feel like it would be beneficial for them and I to like start this like really like actual close sibling relationship that has depth
mm-hmm.
as they're this age moving like forward. You know?
The thought of your guys' relationship just literally fills my heart with so much love. Because how beautiful.
And to have an older sibling who is so actively seeking that connection, I feel like as when you're a younger sibling, it's like all you want is that validation and like you want your older sibling to think you're cool.
Right.
Right. And to want to hang out with you. And the fact that you are actively pursuing those relationships, I think is gonna, if it doesn't mean so much to them now, it will later in life.
There's often times like, oh yeah, we love each other and it's like fine, whatever. And then you don't really like get to like the, oh, you notice that about mom and dad too?
Yeah.
Until you're like, you know, like in your 20s or
you
whatever.
You can start talking shit about mom and dad, bro. Oh. That level.
Yo.
Once I hit that with my brother, I was like, I'm so glad you're here.
Right. Thank you for joining
Pull
us.
Pull up a chair.
Right. Yeah. Right. And but that's so, I feel like that's like, that makes you so much closer, right? Like not that it's like us against our parents, like whatever, but like,
we, to commiserate.
Exactly. Exactly. And to feel like it's us. Like, obviously, it's the family, but like, mom and dad are going to leave at some point, and like, it's us. And I got you, and y'all got me. And like, that's, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you know that. And you're not some older sister who just, oh, well.
Well, they're teenagers. So it's like, whatever. Yeah.
You're not like that. And you put such an effort. So that is literally just the foundation. And you guys can't wait to see it. So beautiful. I love siblings that can get along and are, because that's not everyone. And you,
right.
Like sometimes you'd be like, oh, you think that everyone, but like, that's not the tea for everyone. And yeah. The closeness when you are close is so beautiful.
It's been interesting as Steven and I like think and talk more about like age gaps with having a second child. You know, I think there's a lot of talk of like, what's the best age gap? What age gap is going to make my kids close? Like, I think that's a question I've seen come up in parenting circles over and over and over again. And the answer that I have seen a lot of people say that I think is so true is it doesn't actually really matter because it matters who they are.
Right.
You could have kids who are a year apart and hate each other. You could have kids who are 10 years apart and are so close.
Yeah.
And so it's less about like what the perfect age gap is and more about who they are as people and how you as a parent facilitate those relationships.
Right.
And I think that has been very comforting to me because for a long and honestly seeing you and your relationship with your siblings has been very comforting to me because I thought I was going to have another baby a lot closer in age to Grace. Like I honestly imagined like a very close age gap.
Right.
And when that time came and I realized I am so not ready and like I'm barely getting to a point where I'm ready now and mm-hmm. she's two.
Mm-hmm.
I have felt a lot of anxiety about like, am I ruining this for her? Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Am I taking this away from her of her having a close sibling?
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of time and the age gaps, that's not the end all be all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And yeah. It's been very inspiring to see your relationship with your siblings.
What is the age gap between you and your oldest brother?
My brother and I are 11 years apart, so he's 16. And then my sister and I are 13 years apart. She's 14.
Besties.
And they're close. Like, they're, like, a year and some change. Like, not exactly 2 years. I guess they are now. But they're a year apart when, like, she turns 15.
Yeah.
And they're close. So are we. And we're over a decade apart.
Yeah. I love your relationship with your siblings and I love any chance that I have to like hear you talk about that. It's
Thanks.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
I always am feeling like I want to spend more time with Grace, obviously.
Right.
I could spend every waking moment with her and I don't ever feel like it would be enough, you know, which is just kind of that like fleeting feeling of your child growing up.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, I wish I could spend 100 years with her at this age.
Right, but, like, right.
I get one day with her at this age because tomorrow she's going to change and be different.
Right.
And, damn. Yeah, it's that, like, weird feeling of I wish I could just pause right here and, like, soak this in. But also whatever's coming next I know is going to be fun and exciting, too. But I think something I am actively pursuing of, like, wanting to spend more time with is spending time with Grace with my family. Mm. A lot of the time, like, because I work part-time, it's, like, my mom comes over to watch Grace while I'm working. And so then I don't think to be like, hey, mom, like, let's go do something with Grace, the two of us, or, like, with, you know, Steven's parents or whoever. Like, I feel like a lot of the time it's like, oh, I'm either someone else is watching Grace or, like, I'm with Grace and I want to spend more time, like, with her as with our family.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, because sharing that experience of, like, watching Grace grow, like, I'm sure, like, just even, like, if you go with, like, to Disneyland or something, just, like,
right.
You're just, like, getting to watch them, you know?
Yeah.
And watch I think them that, experience that, too. Yeah.
And then watching your parents enjoy them, like, that mm-hmm. is top tier.
Mm-hmm. It's so special, like, in those experiences to when she does something amazing or cute or funny to turn to the person next to you and be like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, on, you know, because I'm solo with Grace 2.5 weekdays and then, you know, Steven and I on the weekends together. But when I'm alone with her, there is kind of that feeling of like, oh, like, I wish there was someone else I could turn to and be like, can you believe that?
Right.
And that's where it becomes me texting Steven updates on everything. She just ate a Cheerio. It was beautiful.
Right. Right.
She just waved.
Gorgeous.
I'm crying. Because yeah. There's this feeling of like, I want someone else to share the experience of watching how amazing she is.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
That made me think of a little different, but it's like if you think you love your significant other, wait till you see them with children or like raising someone. And so like you saying like you with Steven, like the love you already had, but like now raising Grace, like you're like, I just want to look to you and be like, oh my God, can you believe what we did? This is amazing.
And right. We do that all the time.
Yeah.
Like you think that would fade.
No.
But literally like 2 years in, we multiple times a day usually turn to each other and are like, can you believe this?
That is so like, special.
And Steven especially is just so wonderful. At, like he is always telling me like how much he loves watching me parent. And like I love watching him parent. And like it really is just so amazing to be like, I love you so much. I love her so much. I love that you love her. I love that she loves you. Like,
right.
Steven
right.
said last night he was like putting her down for bed and she just kept saying, I miss mama. I love mama. I miss mama. And Steven was like, I love that you miss mama.
Right.
Like, that's so beautiful. He's like, Sierra, you got to get in here.
Right. That's so cute.
And that's magic right there that yeah. you're like, she's saying she misses mama from her crib. You're like, yeah, she does.
Right. Like, the feeling is mutual.
Yeah,
girl.
The feeling is so mutual, bestie.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Sorry for diverting the conversation to this. Listen. I could talk about how obsessed I am with my child forever.
I love watching you with Grace. Yeah. Truly. Like, I get in like, I love it. Like, truly, it's so beautiful. And as soon as I find out that if one day I have a child, I will be texting you and saying, I would like
a book,
a plan, and prompts, and how do I do exactly how you've been doing so beautifully with Grace. I'm so dead ass. I truly
yeah, I feel
dead
that.
Ass. I'm coming to you, so be ready if I ever have a baby. I'm going to be like, please help me.
That's
I
just,
know you so know, sweet.
You're
yeah.
I love it.
I am yeah. always feeling, I don't know, like I should be doing more. I could be a better parent, like right? There's always that feeling. Like I feel like I'm pretty confident in my parenting abilities.
Yeah.
But there is always that feeling of like, is it enough?
Because you're right. a great parent. So you are literally still thinking, how the hell right. can I give more?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Well, thank
also,
you.
Also,
that's how much.
As an adult yeah. who like dwells in your home a lot, just even hearing how you choose to parent Grace is like right. so healing for like my inner child.
That's
and like I literally talk to my siblings about it. I'll be like, because it's seeing something, and I love my parents, there's no shade into them, but like seeing something modeled in a way I've like never seen anyone mm-hmm. do that. And also like I nannied for 10 years. Like I don't really want children, but I've been around them for forever, and seeing how you, because it's a choice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like it's also so crazy to see how you do that while still like honoring and balancing yourself as an autonomous person.
Right.
I don't think that's easy to do.
Right.
I think you should be very fucking proud.
Yes.
Yes.
Retweet. Retweet.
Thank you.
Truly.
That's like the kindest thing you could ever say.
Oh my God.
You're a down ass bitch and a bomb ass mom.
Dude, you're a sick ass mom.
Again, she is the mom, bro.
I'm so on the same level as Jess. Like, I'm really not interested in having kids, but if I ever ended up with one, I'm running to this house and knocking on the door.
Yes.
Like, for real.
That was me with Kenzie. Aww. I'm like, you have created the perfect child in Harlan. Tell me how to do it.
Yeah. For real.
I'll be running to you ladies and being like, show me how to.
Yeah.
Parent with such kindness and love.
With validation. I feel like that's, bro.
Oh my God. The validation you give her. And
the patience.
Like, dude, it's so easy to just be like, stop. Just can you just be quiet? Like, don't. Because I said, like, it's so much easier to do that. But like, that's not what you do. And it's like, it's.
I didn't even know it was an option. And I really, really, really mean that. Like, I had no idea the way that you parent in love with grace. I didn't know that was like, I'm like, I didn't know you could be so.
Like, no shade, no shade. Children. We love our parents.
Yeah, no shade to parents. No shade.
But
damn, there is a way that you can validate your 2-year-old. That like,
there's a way to validate your 2-year-old's emotions and feelings, even if they're like doing the most, and still like teach them something, and still like help them do whatever the thing is safely. Like, there's a way to do it, and there's a way to like explain why they shouldn't do it the way they should.
This marriage
are doing
of like comfort for your child and then also like curiosity for the world around her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as someone who's like incredibly anxious, that's so nice to have play in the background of my workday. Like, I can't even explain. And I also just think, like, you know, I don't know how much like bearing this really has, but your outer voice in those situations, you're building your daughter's inner voice. Mm. And like, she's so damn lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's things she's going to grow up and be her own person. Be like, mom, no. Right. Like, that's going to happen because that's adolescence. But like,
but
you and Steven are really doing the most.
Mm-hmm. I'm like,
yeah, bro.
We could
love you.
You could go on.
You guys, thank you. I feel like I just don't even know what to say about this because this is just like the nicest thing. And like, I feel like I've worked through so many insecurities about like myself, but I still always feel like the guilt of like not being enough, like for her, especially working. Like, I always wonder like, should I, like, am I making the wrong choice? Right. And like, to hear you guys say that, like, I just don't even, I don't even know what to say. Thank you.
Then I'm really glad that as much we are all here doing this, I'm glad that you know the truth.
Thank you.
You know, as people who are
as outsiders,
here,
really. Yeah.
Outsiders.
Because here's the thing,
outsiders,
too.
Outsiders, but people that are here and witnessing it. Like,
right.
That's what my therapist says. She's like, who's actually around?
Yeah.
And like watching this.
And the people around you are literally telling you, go, bitch, keep it up.
Yeah.
Do it. You are literally killing it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Truly.
Thank you so much.
We're back. I have tissues. And I got even more of a pep talk in the break, and I just love you guys so dearly, and I'm so grateful for you, and I can only, God, Sierra, don't do it. I can only hope that Grace will have friendships like these when she's older.
She will, because she will see her mom and all her mom's friends
and seek out women like that.
Exactly.
And just, who uplift each other. And
exactly.
What a little lighthouse she's going to be.
Absolutely.
She could go in boundaries. She's going to be a little lighthouse of like boundaries and self-love. And mm-hmm. that's so important for little girls. And it's not just going to affect her.
Especially for little girls. Yeah.
Other little girls.
Yep.
I hope so.
Yep.
Have I told you guys that we've started doing affirmations every morning?
No.
No, you didn't. She asks for it. She like, that's like one of her favorite things is be like after like in the morning when we're getting ready, we like look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, like, I am kind. And she's like, I kind. Like, right. we do them all. And then she'll be like, one more. Or she'll be like, now, dad. Like, she wants us all to do it. It was so funny. She tried to get Steven to do an affirmation. He was like, I've like never done this before. Like, what do I say? I was like, what do you like about yourself? Like, what, or what's something that you're striving to be?
Right.
And at first he like did a jokey one. He's like, I have stinky farts. And I'm like, yeah, haha. But like, go.
Do it.
Go. And he did one. And I was like, you are.
Aww. Not us all healing.
I know.
I know. Oh, I love that.
That's so beautiful.
But now sometimes
because we always do it in the same mirror, I'll find her like in front of that mirror, just like talking to herself in the mirror.
That's a
like,
mood.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm exactly. like, that's exactly what I want.
Right. You can do anything.
Yeah.
Right. You are baddest.
I just want to see her little fingy like
yeah.
pointing.
Yeah. yeah.
Our second card.
God.
Level three.
Wait, what level are we on?
Three.
We're on the last one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Phew, just want to make sure.
Here's a question. What do you hope to accept, if not love, about yourself one day?
The thing that I'm still actively working on is just like, the loudness. I think that I know that that's okay, and I know, and I try to remind myself, but it's really tough because I've been told to
bring it down. Mm-hmm.
Too many times, and it's just so like in me that I hope one day I can be that 70-year-old woman with the vest and just like, hey, and just be yeah. so not care about it.
Yeah.
And hopefully it doesn't take that long. And it's funny to say because you're like, you're already doing that, Paloma. That's funny that you think that you're not.
Right.
So
but you're self-conscious about it.
Yeah, maybe to be able to do that without having the thought of, is
yeah.
that too much?
You're so right. I think right. that's what it is. It's like the retrospect. And you're like, maybe I shouldn't have been as loud. Oh, my God. Was I?
Ooh. Right.
If right. I could like just be myself and then not like feel guilty about it later. Like, was I a little? Yeah. That part.
I feel like I want to feel like me needing something or me
asking for something,
yeah, asking for help or just even asking for anything and just feeling like I need this thing to be okay. I want to be able to ask for those things and like say those things without feeling like I am a burden on somebody else, I'm being annoying, I'm being needy, this isn't valid, this isn't that important, it's not that deep. I have a really difficult time with being like, hey, I just like need this thing from anybody. Like it's really, really hard and I will suffer through anything just to know that nobody's going to be like, she's so needy or like, I can't believe she asked that. And like, who even cares about that? Like, why does she make that such a big deal? It doesn't matter. Like, I want to be able to voice my needs without feeling like I'm going to get shot down or people are going to think XYZ about me.
Mm-hmm.
Just be able to advocate for yourself mm-hmm. without feeling guilt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And tough as hell to do.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I feel like with both of yours, you're both at the place where you're doing the thing.
Right.
Right? Like probably before you couldn't even do the thing.
Right.
But now you're like, I would like to do the thing and not feel weird about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is kind of like mine too. Honestly, I was thinking about it. I'm like, what do I still not like fully love and accept about myself? And when it comes to body image, I've done like so much work, like deconstructing the way that I view beauty and the way that I view myself and my worth. But physically, I still a lot of the times find myself like feeling insecure about my stomach or like my eyes immediately go there. Okay,
right.
I'm trying on this cute new outfit I like, but how does my stomach look?
Right.
Right. And oh, I really like these pants, but do I like the way they make my stomach look? Right. Like that. I think that is still kind of that one little thing that's like holding on. And I still do it, right? I still wear the pants.
Right.
And I still do the thing. But I'm having that thought of like, but my stomach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I would love to just like
quiet that noise.
Yeah, quiet
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because it's like that voice doesn't even belong to me. That's the insecurity talking. And if we could just keep living our lives and not have that like reflect moment of that thought crossing your mind, we'd be so chill. Like, those thoughts don't belong to us. It's just the insecurity talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Forget it and remind ourselves that's just a thought passing, does not belong to me.
Right.
That's what I like to do.
That's such good
that's
advice.
Good.
I really am like, because I'm like, I don't feel that way. That's not true.
Yeah.
No, next.
And right. you're so right. When I'm looking at myself in that outfit and I'm like, my eyes are going there, it's not like I don't like this thing. It's like I've been told that this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm checking for what they, and I'm like, but oh, that doesn't belong to me. Why am I, oh, next.
Right. Because it's easy to be like, oh, especially I do this. I've done this with you and you're like, why? I'm like, ugh, I shouldn't eat that. I don't need that. And you're like, but don't you want it? I'm like, well, duh. Yeah, yes, girl. I want the cake, but I can't eat it. Why? Because? It's always like, because? I don't know. Then eat it. I'm like, okay, you're right.
That is making me think of, I am rewatching Zoe 101, and there is a scene where the three girls are sitting around a piece of cake, and the girl pulled, and she was like, oh, I got this like slice of cake. And they're like, she's like, oh, but I can't eat it. And then they're like, so why'd you grab it? And she's like, I just can't. And then they were literally, it was spent, screen recorded, so I should show you guys. Should I show you guys like the actual?
Literally, yeah.
I have it here and I screen recorded it and was like, I want to post this. I don't even know what to do with it but it felt so like, oh my gosh, this is why as women growing up, this is what we watched and consumed.
Right.
No wonder we feel this way.
Right.
Here are the girls.
When it was like funny and casual, like right. commonplace right. settings.
Yes.
Right.
Like this is normal and this is what you are probably doing.
Here we go.
Friends.
Right. The commentary.
Okay, one more. Right. Just one.
Eat the cake, girl.
And after they're like, but the commentary of, no, I can't. That has right. like 100 calories in it.
Yeah. I'm trying
no,
to be good.
I'm okay. trying to be good.
All three of it, if we all three if go all, in on it.
Then it's fine.
And it made me think of those women that are like, no chips. Okay, actually, if we'll all do it, like if we're being bad.
Right.
I'm like, how did that come to like fruition? I was like, I'll tell you why. Because we were watching Zoe 101, watching three young girls lose their mind over if they should have a slice of chocolate cake.
Like, yeah. like actually, middle school, like 13-year-old girls.
Well, and what's crazy too is... Right. There's this perception that that is bad because you will be fat. Like, right. Being fat is the worst thing in the world.
Right.
But aside from that, the one piece of chocolate cake is not going to make you fat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The one piece of chocolate cake is not going to like change your body.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And so what is that even about?
It almost gives like if I do this, then I kind of lose control.
I can't right? stop.
I won't mm-hmm. be able to stop. Mm-hmm.
Which
and that will make me fat.
Yep.
And that's the thing, right?
And that was so my mindset when I was like dieting and late high school and just so fixated on my weight was like, I cannot even let myself have one singular chip at the barbecue, not even one, mm-hmm. because then, oh my God, I won't be able to help myself.
Right.
Right? Like if I even let my, if they even get the one, because I think I remember that scene as they end up eating the whole cake.
Yep,
right.
Yeah.
If you even give in a little bit and let yourself have the one bite, you will not be able to stop yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just, as we were talking about that, replaying it, when she was like, why did you get the cake? I'm weak.
Mm.
She literally responded with, "What? Why'd you get the cake? I'm weak.
I'm weak.
She what? Said the quiet
what?
Part.
What kind of messaging are we sending to the children watching Zoe 101? So anyways, right. me recording it like, what the hell is this?
No, right.
Garbage.
Yeah.
But I love this show. But why shouldn't I have been consuming that?
Yeah.
And that's why for a lot, I feel like when I was younger, I'd be like, okay, well, what if we share it? What if we all just share
right.
the fries?
Right.
And I don't feel so guilty because we're all actually doing
eating
the thing,
fries.
You know?
And I'm not eating all of them. So it's like, fine.
And yeah. you won't judge me for eating fries.
Because you're eating fries.
You're being bad too.
Yeah.
Is it the fear of like being judged by others? Like, you know, like,
yeah, I mean, yeah. probably. Right. And like, how bad is it if we're all doing it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the answer is it's not bad. Eat the cake, eat the fries.
Yeah.
And that voice inside all three of those girls did not belong. I'm weak. It has a million calories. Those you guys are like 11. I promise you that's right. not the voice in your head. Someone put those in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And an adult wrote that script.
Yes.
Right.
And was like this in my children's show.
Perfect. Yes.
Wasn't it Dan Schneider?
It was Dan Schneider.
Bro, and that's the most problematic.
Checks out.
Yeah.
Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta
real.
Say.
Have you guys Retweet. Listened to, or I guess some people read and not listen to books.
Right.
But I was gonna say, have you guys listened to Jeanette McCurdy's book?
No.
Not yet.
I have.
The list. Should we like book club that shit and like
I'll read it again.
Okay.
Let's do that. I'm okay. so down.
Yeah.
So
it,
down.
It was wild. And it's actually, it's a short read too.
Okay. So okay. You definitely recommend like, let's send this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Period.
Done. Yeah.
Yep.
Done.
Back into level three. And here's your question to my 20 whatevers. What is your favorite thing about being your age?
I like being old enough that I feel so removed from my teenage self. Like that is a different person.
Right.
But I still feel somewhat young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I still feel really young, even though I know that I'm not the youngest. Like, I don't feel like, oh my God, like, I don't feel like when people say that they're 27, I remember when I was 17 and someone saying they were 27 and me being like, Jesus,
old. Oh yeah,
you're old.
Mm-hmm.
But like now being 27, I'm like, I am so young. Like, I am so young. However, I have been just referring to myself as 30 because that just seems like it makes more sense to me. I'm like, I'm 30.
Almost
like,
30. Whatever. Practically like, I'm
basically 30. Yeah. So, and I think that's just been me at 27 now, like, knowing that I'm closer to 30 than I am to 20. I'm just like, okay, well, let's just round up. Like, we're here.
Yeah.
You know? We're almost there. We're let's just start 30.
Yeah.
I also feel like at this age kind of becomes irrelevant. Like, once you've aged out of all the age restrictive things, right? Like, okay, I can drive. I can move out. I can drink alcohol. I can get a rental car.
Rent a car. That one was the last car.
Yeah, that was the most recent.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't get that till 25.
Yeah, I think 25. Yeah.
Like, age isn't a factor anymore.
Yeah, just we can literally do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it never really even comes up.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I agree. That is the best part of this age is, like, growing up and feeling like I don't have to, like, do...
I don't have to jump through hoops to do things I want to do or do things I have to do.
Yeah.
I can just do it.
I don't know. I feel like a younger kid. Is that weird that I still feel like a kid? Maybe.
You?
Yeah. I feel like I'm still a young kid / adult, but also... with, like, starting to develop funds as an adult. So, like, if I want to order Postmates, I can get Postmates. So, like, right. I love that about
adult money.
Where it's, like, I feel like I still may be a little young because maybe you shouldn't be ordering Postmates, like, for the fourth time because mom would be like, we have food at home because we do have food at home.
Right. And but you're
still,
a mom.
But I'm still, yeah, I'm mom, right?
Yeah, right.
But I'm still old enough to where I have adult money.
The choice.
Yeah.
You have the choice. That's what it is.
Not we having can, to ask permission.
Is that what it is? That's exactly what it is.
If you want Postmates, get it. Who's going to stop you?
And it was going to go along the lines where it's like the sleepover where Ryan was like, oh, and I was like, if I want, Ryan can sleep over again. Like, I don't have to ask my mom. And that was awesome. Like, I love that I don't have to ask for permission for anything,
right?
But the shitty part is, like, I made the decision, so I have to own up to all the consequences.
Yeah.
And it's all my fault. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm old enough to where I cannot put the blame on anyone else.
Right. Well, because not everything is everyone else's fault.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I had a real tough time with that. Like, everything I did was because so-and-so said this, did this. It was never my fault. Me now, it is all my fault every time, and I am... sorry to everyone I'm blamed. It was me.
What did we say in that one episode? We're like, but we were still in that situation, and what part did we play?
Exactly.
Mm. And that's the question I was not asking myself.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I was just
because,
like,
I didn't. Everything was happening to me.
Yeah.
I wasn't causing anything. It was happening
to
me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's weird, like, I don't know, feeling like disappointed in myself, like, not in like a serious way.
So I like that I have to do that, but, like, I don't like how do I?
Well, I like the benefits of being an adult, but I don't like the responsibilities of being an adult.
Yeah. And this is the age where I'm definitely figuring out that I have a lot of responsibilities coming, and they're just going to keep coming. And I think that actually is a little worrisome to me.
Realizing you're the adult, especially in, like, scary situations, you're like, I'm the adult.
Right. Yeah.
Shit.
That's actually how that tail end of that I happened in theater, where I was, like, starting to become, like, the older person, and they would, like, come to me and I'd be like, oh, go get a parent. I am not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you remember you? And they would, like, try to talk to me.
Hey, so am I? And I'm like, I don't know how to help you.
I was like, go tell an adult. They're like, looking at me, and you're, I'm like, go tell an adult.
Like a real adult.
I still remember a moment where I was like, go tell an adult, and they were looking at me, and I was like, a real adult. I'm so serious. Like, an adult, go get a mom.
Yeah. Like, I am not.
And in that moment, I was like, oh shit, people are perceiving me as the adult. I am the adult now, and now we have to play that game.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of, like, right, we've been talking a lot about the feeling of, like, not being young anymore. How do you feel about aging? We're happy to not be so young anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But how do we feel to be older?
Good. I think it's coming with wisdom.
Mm.
I don't like about the achiness. Like, I do sense, like, if I sleep wrong, it hurts a lot much longer, which I'm not excited. I think that is one of my...
That's what I was going to say.
Is, like, a fear. Is, like, just, like, my body...
My not ability keep, to my do abil- things.
Yeah. Keeping up with as much as I want to do or something like that, which I feel like has then flipped to the gratitude now. And I've realized that, where I'm like, I need to just be so thankful that I can move my body and do this every single day. So let's go out and move it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's not granted forever.
I feel that. I'm cool, like, with getting older. I just don't – I do worry about, like, my health, right, and, like, my ability to do things and just things that come up when you're older, like, just literally everyday things. It feels like those things are not approaching, not fast approaching, but, like, things I need to be aware of. Because, like, if I wasn't sick or had a cold or something, like – I don't think about the doctor. I don't think about, like, we don't have to, like, do things, right? I go to get a physical and, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Or I have strep throat and I got to handle that. But, like, as a grown-up human, you have to go to the doctor even if there's nothing wrong, just to make sure that there's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Generally, as a kid, if you're like a pretty healthy kid, you just go when you need
your
to,
physicals or whatever.
Physical, or if you were like coughing and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and as an like, adult, you got to go
and be proactive
to make sure you're still like
and be proactive about your
fine.
Health.
Yeah. When you're making the call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if you don't go, then no one's going to tell you to go.
Which
right.
I'm going to take this moment to shame myself for not calling my doctor. So I'm doing this right now as a reminder. I have to call my doctor. Mm-hmm. I have to. Like, I literally have it on my calendar and I keep pushing it every week. I'm like, call doctor, schedule doctor appointment, schedule doctor. And I'm just like, okay. I have it on the calendar, so I know I have to do it. But
right.
You know who's a great person for that? Kenzie. Just text her, be like, make sure I do this.
But there was something I was supposed to like call and schedule. And we have this shared production schedule with like all of our like color coded, you know, tasks and stuff. And I had been moving that one like next day
was
for
it
like
the throat
2 weeks.
Doctor?
Yes.
It was the throat doctor.
It was the throat doctor.
Yeah.
And she goes, so what are you going to do it today? Because I see you move it every day on the production schedule. And I was like,
I'm like, you're seeing that? You see that?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's so funny.
I feel when it comes to aging, I feel like totally fine about like the aesthetic stuff. Like I think aging is beautiful. Wrinkles mm-hmm. are beautiful. Gray hair is beautiful. It's also like a privilege mm-hmm. to grow old.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I actively want to fight against this notion of like, I don't know, women's worth being tied to their youth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And that aging is like an insult. Like people will comment and be like, oh my God, you look so old. And I'm like, and
right,
is that a bad thing? Like,
right.
why is that an insult?
Right,
mm-hmm.
right to age. Why right. is that an insult? And so I'm like, I actively am wanting to push against that. I don't have like a lot of insecurity about that, but like you said, with like the physical things, I am starting to just become more aware of like, oh, like my ears were ringing after that concert. If I want to keep my hearing long term, I should probably get earplugs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, mm-hmm. oh, I should probably go see the doctor about this thing. Right? Like doing those things and like taking care of yourself
mm-hmm.
for longevity, not just for right now.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You and your dentist journey.
Duh.
She's yeah. so brave, you guys.
No, I know. Braver
you
than me.
Are
I
so
have not.
Fucking brave.
Bro, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The dentist, big fear of mine. But again, and you know what's so funny? I was like so fearful in my dental appointment and my dentist was like telling me about like the, you know, care plan and the things that we have to do. And I literally had that thought of like, but what if I just didn't?
Right. Right.
And I asked him, I was like, so, you know, like, I hear you.
I hear you. Yep.
I hear you. I
hear
respect you.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I know all these things need to be done. And I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but just like, what would happen if I didn't? Like,
right.
what kind of, what is like the, and is there any like rush on this, right? Like, is it an immediate concern? And he's like, I'm going to be honest with you. Nothing would happen for like 20 years. Like, you'd be fine. But in 20 years, you're going to have like serious issues with your teeth. Like, that are going to take, like, a lot. Like, you might have to have, like, teeth pulled.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. Teenage me would have been like, that's
her
problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's yeah. I'll deal with that later. Yeah.
But me now, I'm like, you know what? I should just do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And my tooth still kind of hurts, and it was a week ago. But you know what?
But we're proud of you.
So we did it.
Yep.
And in 20 years, I'll be like, thank God.
Thank mm-hmm. God. Exactly. Yep. You're probably not, I'm not manifesting this for you, but, like, you're going to have so much other shit that you have to deal with. And, like,
right.
let's not add that to the list of things that are just going to happen because age.
Right. And I got to watch the Kardashians while having laughing gas.
Right.
And that was an experience.
Which was a new season.
Yes, it was. And the funniest part, too, was that then my dentist was watching that while, like, working in my mouth for like 2 hours.
Sir,
right.
eyes right here.
Yeah.
She had her phone and we get a text in the Slack. You're like sending pictures of the Kardashians
right.
on the screen, like you in the chair.
Right.
It was so funny.
I know. Well, we were like talking about something important.
And then
we were like, so
what's Sierra think what's about
Sierra,
this?
Like at Sierra, like, can you weigh in on this or whatever?
Can you confirm?
We were trying to confirm dates or something. And you were like, yeah, I can look at this tomorrow after my dentist appointment because right now I got a mouthful of hands I got hands in my mouth and I'm at the dentist. So, and we were like,
you said, I'm not allowed to, my dentist said I'm not allowed to make decisions.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to make decisions until tomorrow.
Send selfie.
Yeah, selfie. Mouth wide open, goggles on.
Yeah.
Insert selfie here.
Yes.
All right, our last question, level three. I forgot, there's also a final card, which I don't know what it says, but we're going to read it when you're done.
Love.
Okay.
What will you no longer do for love?
Ooh.
Oh, I think I already said mine, but beg.
Yep.
Can't do that.
I just have to say, because it's at the top of my head, all I'm hearing is the song from A Chorus Line. What I did for love.
Yes.
Because I do everything for love. But what I won't do for love is not stand up for my values and what I believe is right.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm.
No more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's similar to mine. Like, compromise the core of who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of talk about, like, never change yourself for someone. And, like, I agree in the sense of, like, the core of who you are. But, like, I don't know. We all have, like, little things that we could improve on and little things we should change. And there's a polite and delicate way to say that. But, like, yeah, Steven thinking I maybe should put my laundry in the hamper. That's fine. That's fine feedback.
Right.
Yeah. Me telling Steven, like, you know, if you're going to wear those flip-flops, you absolutely need to trim your toenails.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that. Those are, like, valid things.
That's
right?
Just working out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think the idea of, like, never change for someone is, like, I don't know. We should always kind of be, like, changing and evolving. And,
right.
Like, yeah. The little things and, you know, the bigger things. But at the core of who you are, that should not change to suit someone else's preferences.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yes, on the big, very big on the growth because, yeah, don't change yourself, but also we are growing and there's always something to work on
and
there's
some things always need something to change.
Learn. Yeah.
Just, you know, I think there's something in like, well, that's just who I am. We've talked about that before. I'm just like
don't,
that.
Don't say that. Do not say that. Well, I said, then be better.
Be better. Yeah. You can.
I have literally,
I know.
And a huge part of relationships and love
is
being able to approach someone about something that bothers you. I use the more like lighthearted examples, but more serious things too. You should be able to go to the person you love and be like, hey, the way you've been talking to me or asking me to do this thing or criticizing me is really negatively impacting me. And I would like you to change that. And we should be able to... I almost think it's essential.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes. You know.
For, I mean, for a long, for a relationship to last, for the respect to still be there, for the love and the care to be there, like, if somebody is going to you about, like, this thing that you're doing is negatively affecting me or hurting me.
And I'd like you to change it.
It is your responsibility to change it, or then this is not the relationship for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if that's something you feel like you can't change, then that's a whole different conversation.
Right, right. And I mean,
that's okay.
Yeah, and that is so and okay that you're like, oh, well, I don't really do that. That's okay. And I can't give that to you. And thank you for letting me know that you need that. I'm sorry that I can't be that person to give that to you.
What are the next steps?
But what are the next steps?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think encourage me to grow. Communicate when something I'm doing is negatively impacting you and needs to change. But don't change the core of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And that's a fine line, right? Because you don't want to be a doormat.
Yeah.
But you also don't want to be the person who's that's just the way I am.
Right.
You're offended by what I said to you. That's your problem.
And choosing not to do better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Baby, love, I know, don't want to be like, love should be easy, but like, it shouldn't be like begging, changing if our own self. Like, imagine if like Sierra and I are like wanting to be with someone and they're like, you're like a little weird. Or like, I'd be like, all right, well then,
I'm out.
Get the program.
It's kind of weird how you sing. That's like,
weird.
Like, why are you doing
could
that?
Could you imagine?
Could you not?
We couldn't be with people like that.
No.
There's just no way. Like, I've always talked, we're like, well, we have to find a clown because I'm an actual clown.
Yeah.
And I don't want someone to try to be like, no, you need to be
like
this.
Yeah, or who wants me to be this or is embarrassed. Or
like, if someone's going to sit there and be like, if you singing is a deal breaker, then it's on them to be honest with themselves and you and, you know, find the door.
Mm-hmm.
But to sit and try to make you small to fit into what they want you to be or the potential of who they see you to be is a dangerous game.
Yeah.
Especially in your 20s.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That was
final
a good
card.
One.
We are absolutely not going to do this right now. But if you've been listening to this episode and you feel like it would be cathartic, the final card says write a letter to your younger self. Tell them how you're doing.
I will. We should definitely do that.
Did you guys ever have to write letters to your future self? Middle school, high school?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You never have us do it to our past self.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because they were like, we're 15. Like, tell your younger self. I'd be like, what?
I'd be like, tell her what?
Yeah. Tell her what?
She was 10. Like, I don't know.
But I think that would almost be more interesting,
it
right?
It would be so interesting.
What would 10-year-old you advise 5-year-old you?
Yeah.
Right.
Versus what would 5-year-old you say to 10-year-old you? Like, I hope you're cool and play sports.
Right.
I know.
Right.
I want to know what high school me had to say to younger self. Like, imagine what she could have said.
I think for me, it would have been so soapboxy. It would have been so, like, just so, like, Tumblr, like YA fiction, right. Just like floof.
Floof. Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Same. Absolutely.
And
same.
That's why they didn't have the 15-year-old.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. That's
and
exactly
I really
it.
Would have felt like I was doing something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like this should be published.
Yep. Yep.
Put this in a blog.
Same. Right. Put the, yeah.
Maybe that's why I started this.
Probably.
I'm like, I have
a voice to be heard.
So much to say. Right. And now I've never stopped talking.
And on that note, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. And thankfully, yeah. We're all here together. Yeah. You just do that.
Yes. Yes. Well, what a great episode. That was, I mean, cathartic, yeah. I think, for a lot of reasons. And hopefully y'all felt good too and can answer these questions for yourself. I really enjoyed sitting here with you guys and doing that.
Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.